Before I start, Reverend McCabe just wanted me to extend his love, let you know that you're in his prayers. He's visiting with Mike and Sarah and Rial in Colorado, and he'll be back soon. So we just wanted to let you know that. We could turn to Romans 10. Throughout the Bible, we see that God's people speak about God, they testify about God, about his love, his mercy, about his goodness, his deliverance. But as time continues on, society is, they're trying to stop us from talking about God. They don't want us to talk about God. They don't want us to talk about his goodness, his deliverance, his mercy, his love. And they try to make us feel ashamed. And one of the ways that they do this is they tell us things like, be rigid. You know, who believes this stuff? Be rigid. They tell us we're old-fashioned. You know, times have changed. You know, get with the program. You know, they tell us that we're hateful. Matter of fact, They're trying to change the laws, and have changed some of them, where just reading passages from the scripture, you're breaking the law. It's a hate speech, hate crime. They tell us that we're being unloving by sharing the word, the gospel, the people. You know, they want us to feel guilty so that we'll stop speaking. Some of us are. What I want to do is look in the Word this morning and see, what does God say about us speaking the Word? What does he say about us walking in love? Because that should be our only standard and our only source is God's Word. So that's what I want to take a look at this morning, which is what I'm calling Speak Love. So we're going to pick it up here. In Romans 10, in verse 9, it says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, and that's the thing. God has made it so that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, that if you believe that God has provided this for you, and that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that we can receive salvation. That's all it takes, right? With your heart, you believe onto righteousness. You believe his word. You believe the things that he says. Verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? See, and this is the issue. The issue is how will they call on him that they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This particular one used to get to me. Because for a while I used to really believe that this meant This was the minister, the pastor, their responsibility. I mean, I would talk the word, but I mean really the responsibility lies with the minister, the pastor, whatever you want to call it. That's where it really this responsibility goes. But that's really not the truth. This word here, preacher, the word that this comes from, it means to herald, to proclaim openly, preach, also to make known. In other words, it's to speak. That's what this word preacher means. It's not talking about the office of a minister or a pastor or a reverend. It's just talking about what we do, that we speak, that we proclaim, that we would make known the things of God. I want to take a look at verse 14 again. I'm going to read it to you out of the New English Bible. It says, "How could they invoke one in whom they had no faith? And how could they have faith in one they had never heard of? And how could they hear without someone to spread the news?" See, someone. That's that preacher spread the news. Someone to spread the news. Verse 15. "And how could anyone, spread the news without a commission?" That's that word sent in the King James. That we are sent. We are commissioned. It says, "How can anyone spread the news without a commission to do so?" And that is what Scripture affirms. See, this is what Scripture affirms. It says, as it is written in the King James. It affirms that we are commissioned, that we are sent. Who? Someone, anyone, who's willing to spread the news of the gospel. And I'm going to pick it up here in verse 15 in the King James. Says, as it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach," that word preach, to spread the news, to proclaim, to make known. It says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that spread the news of the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You see, and that quotes out of Isaiah. God says that this is a beautiful thing for anyone who would spread the word of the gospel. Anyone. Someone. Not the pastor. Not the minister. Not the reverend. But anyone. Which means all of us. That falls on each and every one of us. And we have been sent. We have been commissioned. This is what it says from Isaiah. That's where the quote comes from. So we all are responsible equally to spread the word of God. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the minister. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. We're going to pick this up in verse 1 here. This is talking about Jesus. It says, "And he arose from there and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" Tempting. So he's in Judea. He's teaching the people. You have the Pharisees. As usual, they're asking him questions. They're trying to entrap him, right? And we're going to move down to verse 17 here. It says, And when he was gone forth into the way. Now he's starting to leave that area. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and he said unto him, "Master, all of these I have observed from my youth." Now watch this, verse 21. It says, then Jesus, beholding him, what? Loved him. It says Jesus loved him. And said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. See now, this is how it works sometimes. Sometimes we tell people the word, and you know what? They grieve. Why? Because they don't want to give up what they have. They don't want to let go of it. What I want to look at, what was Jesus' motivation? In verse 21, it says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. See, and that word loved is from the word agape. It's agapeo, but it means the same exact thing. It means the love of God. He looked at this man with the love of God, and that's why he answered him the way he answered him. Here in the NASB, verse 21, it says, looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. It says he felt a love for him. And that's that love of God. That's what he felt for this man. That was his motivation of what he spoke to him. Love. So we see that God tells us, each and every one of us, that we are supposed to, we're responsible to spread the news, the gospel of peace. And we see that you can speak in love. It's about the love of God. There's a name that I wanted to see if anybody recognizes. Does anybody recognize Norma McCoy? Does that sound familiar? All right. Maybe you're more familiar with this. Roe v. Versus Wade. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jane Roe is Norma McCoy. Okay, and you know that she pushed through, as she filed, that all of the laws were changed from 73 concerning abortion. Did you know in 95 that she committed her life to the Lord? And you know why? It's because somebody loved her. Somebody spoke to her. They shared the word of God with her. And then she turned her heart to the Lord. Everything that we were looking at in Romans, anybody, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, if you confess and you turn your heart into righteousness and believe what God has done, provided for us, that you shall be saved. And so she has salvation. She has turned her heart to the Lord. And the reason why I'm telling you this is she wrote a book about it. And you know what the name of the book is called? One by Love. Because somebody loved her. And they spoke the word to her. You see, and this is what happens because we have the tapes rolling in our mind. What's the tapes? We're rigid. We're old-fashioned. You see, we're hateful. We're unloving. And sometimes we see somebody and they're totally immersed in something. And we feel like, man, if I talk to that person, I mean, if I go down that road and I start sharing the gospel, I know what I'm going to get. And we get fearful when we don't. But somebody loved her regardless, and they shared the word with her, and now she's turned her heart to the Lord. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 1 here says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us." And that word love is agape, the love of God. It says, "Walk in love as Christ also has loved us," with this love of God. And how did Christ love us? God. It says, "And has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savior." So how did Christ love us? He loved us because he gave his life as an offering and a sacrifice. He was doing the will of God. That's how he loved us. And it says that we're supposed to walk in the same love that he walked. We're supposed to walk with the same love of God. We're supposed to walk in a sacrificial way. So it's not what I want, it's what God wants me to do. That's supposed to be my motivation for whatever I do. Right? So Jesus loved this man, and he responded to him out of the love of God. And the reason why we speak the word is the same reason. Because we're supposed to walk as he did in that same love, with the love of God. Let's take a look here in Ephesians 4. I want to start in verse 10. And this is talking about Jesus Christ. It says, "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers." Why did he give them? Verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints," for what? The work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? The gospel of peace, the reconciliation of man back to God, the mystery of Christ. That's the work of the ministry. So it says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So this is the reasons why you have the apostles, the reasons why you have the pastors, teachers, okay? It's for this perfecting and this edifying so that we can do the work of the ministry. And I want to show you here about this perfecting and the edifying part of the body. In verse 13, it says, "Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." We're given these apostles, these teachers, so that we can be, where it says a perfect man, mature, that we can mature in our walk. Verse 14, "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." See, this is the purpose of the pastors, the teachers, the ministers. Their purpose is so that we are perfected, and the body is edified, so that we're not tossed to and fro, that we don't have to believe every doctrine, every philosophy that man comes along and gives us, that we have a mature walk in our faith. Why? So that we can do the work of the ministry, which is to spread the news. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, that's that same word, agape, the love of God, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ. See, this is how it happens. You have the pastors, the teachers, okay? They speak the truth in love to the body of Christ for the perfecting and the edifying, so that we can have a mature walk in our faith, so that we are not thrown about by all of these philosophies and doctrines of men and different beliefs. Why? So that we in turn can do the work of the ministry, so that we can speak the gospel to others. And what do? We speak exactly what is spoken to us. We speak the truth in love, with the love of God. And that's our motivation. That's why we want to do it, and that's how we want to do it. I had a conversation with somebody a while ago, and they were saying, yeah, you know, the things you talked about in the Bible, it sounds good, but, you know, I wish more people heard about this. You know, some kind of way where, like, the masses could hear about this, you know, at once, you know, kind of like TV, and, you know, everybody's tuned in, right? And I told him the same thing. I said, well, you know, that's not how it works, and that's not the way God wants it to work. The way he wants it to work is, if you have a church of 100 people, and you have the pastor, each person here has family members. Each person here has co-workers that they know. Each person here has neighbors that they know. Each person here, just like minimum, knows at least 10 people. So the 100 actually can speak to 1,000. Ministry can speak to 1,000. Oh, you got the megachurch, 10,000 people. Oh, okay, same understanding. If you have these 10,000 people, just each one speaking to 10 people, what do you get? 100,000. Pastor's not speaking to 100,000. It's not happening. And when you look through the scriptures, you see the same, this is how Jesus did it. This is how the word is spread. And it spread like wildfire. Why? Because one man, pastor, he doesn't know the people that you know. You know the people that you know. So you have to speak to them. And then in turn, you can bring them to fellowship, you can let them do a teaching, whatever it is that you do, how you share the word with them. But each one of us are responsible to share the word to people that we know. It's not the pastor, it's not the minister. They do it also, but it's not only their responsibility. So that's how this works. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians 4. So the question is, we know that we have been commissioned to speak, each and every one of us. We know that when we speak with the love of God, that God says that we are loving. We don't have to listen to the old tapes that people try to make us listen to. Right? But the question is how do we speak in love? How does that work? Because a lot of people, they get on this thing and then they feel like, well, say anything I want, whenever I want, the way I want to say it. And that's not how it works. That's not how it works when we're walking in love. So, how do we speak in love? We need God to lead us, God to direct us. Because, again, when we're walking with the love of God, offering and a sacrifice. It's not our will, it's not what we want to do, it's how God wants it done. So whether we're living or whether we're speaking, it's the same thing. Here in Colossians 4, we're going to pick this up in verse 2, and I'm going to read this out of the NASB, but follow along with me. It says, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it. Keeping alert in what? In your prayer. Devote yourself to prayer and keep alert in this same prayer that you're praying, with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the people at Colossae. Right? Praying at the same time for us, that God will open up to us a door for the word. He says a door of utterance in the King James. See, this is what the prayer, they were supposed to be praying this for themselves and for the Apostle Paul. It says that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth what? The mystery of Christ. Remember, this was, he said, you pray this for yourself and for us. So this is a prayer that we ought to be praying for ourselves. It says, so I can speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, those that are not of the faith, making the most of the opportunity. See, this prayer, what it was about, was that there would be a door of utterance, a door of opportunity. That's what your prayer is about. Give me an opportunity, and then it says what I ought to speak. And then, Lord, tell me what I need to speak. I'm praying for a particular person, maybe, and I say, Lord, what is going on with them? Give me an opportunity so I can speak to them, and then show me the words that you want me to speak to this particular person that will touch their heart. Not what I want to tell them about the scriptures. You understand what I'm saying? Well, you know, let me tell you about this, the kingdom of God. And, you know, oh, it's not this, it's not that. Oh, you got that wrong. Blah, 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 blah. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, there's a place for all of that. But that should be God motivated. Not because I want to let you know what I know about the scriptures, but because that's what God wants that person to know about the scriptures. And that's what we're supposed to be praying for. We're supposed to be praying for an opportunity, for the words that God wants us to speak to the people. Why? So that we can speak forth the mystery of Christ. That's what the point is. And that we can make the most of the opportunity that we're given in our lives and with the situation, whoever we're talking to, whatever's going on. Right? Let's go to Proverbs 25, because this says the same thing here in Proverbs 25. And you know, whether it's the New Testament, the Old Testament, it's all congruent. It's the same truth. So I just wanted to show you the same thing here. I really love the way it says it here in Proverbs. Proverbs 25, and we're going to start in verse 11. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. See, and that's really what, that's what Colossians is talking about. Give me the word, what I ought to speak. Just the right word. So it's just, it's like an ornament. Right? Verse 12, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. That person has a heart to receive what you're saying, a that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be just the thing that they need to do. See, and we can't be worried about, well, if I speak to them, I don't know if they're going to turn, I don't know what they're going to do. That's not my concern. That's them and the Lord. My concern is that I speak the word as I've been commissioned, and that I do it with the love of God, meaning that I speak what God wants me to speak to this person in the time and fashion that God wants it done. And not, you know, I'm not the guy like trampling through the garden, you know, killing the flowers. I don't want to be that. I want to be the guy that's in the garden, nurturing the garden, weeding, tilling the garden, fertilizing. I want to be that guy. Meaning I'm going to let God direct me, God show me, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do, the way He wants it done, and not what I want to do. Because the two sometimes look so close to the same, but they're not. We have to remember that. So when we talk about walking in love, speaking the word because of love, love's sake, we do it because this is what God wants, and we do it as a sacrifice unto Him. We do it because we want to speak the word that God wants spoken to the person, not what we want to say. You know? And like I said, sometimes it can get tricky. You know, and we have to check ourselves and make sure, is this really of God? What's going on? And that's why it said in Colossians that we have to stay praying and alert in this prayer, meaning that we're paying attention. Am I doing this? Is what I'm praying about? Am I doing that? If I'm getting ready to say this to them, is that really what God wants done, or is that me? So let's turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 8. See, because, again, it says that we're supposed to walk in love as Christ loved us. And He is the example for our lives in every area of our lives. Jesus is the example. And there's another example right here. I love this record of God directing him. And you see how God works in his life. We're supposed to have God working in our lives in the same type of way. So starting here in verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1. It says, Jesus went onto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. So, here we are. He's having fellowship, he's teaching them, right? They're at the temple, kind of like this, and Jesus is teaching the people. Verse 3, it says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? And this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote in the dirt, as though he had heard them not. So again, you have all of these people around. He's teaching them. Here come the scribes and the Pharisees, and here's this big commotion going on, right? Right here, boom, there's the woman, right? And he just kneels down and starts scribbling in the dirt. Doesn't pay him any mind, right? Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself. So this went on for a little bit of time, right? They're asking him, he's not responding. It says, now he lifted up himself and he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at him. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. See, now I love this record. See, it doesn't say that he prayed, right? But the thing is what does the scripture say about Jesus Christ? It says that he would go in the morning and he would pray. Right? It says that he would be teaching people, thousands, and then he would leave and he'd go up and pray. He said to the disciples, you go here, and go up here and pray. I'll meet you. Jesus was always in prayer, just like what was Colossians. He was always praying for God to lead him, to show him, to guide him. And it's the same thing with us. We're always in prayer. And it says that he always did the Father's will, and he always spoke what God wanted spoken. So, in this same situation, it's just like us. We pray, we ask God, show me, lead me. Something happens, I'm at work, let's say, and some person, hold on, let me pray. No. I mean, I've been in prayer. So I trust that God's leading me, and that he's with me, that he's working through the Holy Spirit. And then I speak to them. I don't have to go off and start praying and come back. So, same thing here. Jesus is always praying. He's always asking for God to show him what to do. And God did. It says here in verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? No man condemneth thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. See, this is why I love this record. I mean, how much scripture did Jesus understand? Everything, really. See, but he gave her the fit word. So he didn't start running through, let me start running through this. And I'm going to run through every single scenario and every verse of scripture. Didn't do that. He gave her the fit word. And he let her know, just in these few words, what? He said, nobody condemns you? He says, I don't condemn you either. Okay, you know what? You have God's mercy. Grace with you. But you know what? Don't continue to sin. Sin no more. I think she understood what Jesus was saying to her. But he didn't go through the and give you every verse and line and chapter. You understand what I'm saying? It was the fit word. It was the word that she needed to hear to convey what needed to be understood. Not, let me show you everything that we're going to talk about. Just what you need to know. That's what God wants us to do. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. I'm not saying it has to be a little bit. That's not my point. My point is that let God lead you. This is what Jesus always did. Let God lead you what you're going to say. You know, and know that when you say what you say, it's enough. Because it's what God wants said to that person at that time. Let's go to Psalm 107. I want to finish up here. Psalm 107 in verse 1. It says, O give thanks unto Yahweh. Why? For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say something. Let the redeemed of the Lord say something. I mean, who else is going to talk about God? Really? Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I mean, hasn't God delivered you from different trials in your life and things that have gone on? And I mean, and ultimately, he has delivered us from the enemy, the adversary, Satan, right? He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness, what? Into the kingdom of his Son. We have been rescued. We have been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're the ones that have to let people know. We have to speak. Now, after this, it goes on and it starts telling you different things about what God has done and how he's helped his people and, you know, his deliverance. And then we get down to verse 8. And it says, oh, that men would what? Praise, speak well, proclaim him. Why? For his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And then it goes on and starts telling you about different things that have happened and how God has intervened and helped his people. And then we get down into verse 15. And again, it says, oh, that men would praise Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then we go through a bunch of stuff and how people don't really adhere to the word and how he sent his word and how he has delivered again. And then you see here in verse 21, he says, oh, that men would praise Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I mean, do you think that God's trying to make us understand something? That we should be to his praise, right? Let the redeemed of the Lord. And then we're going to move down here to verse 31. This is the last one I'm going to share with you. And it's the same thing. It talks again about God's deliverance and how he's been with his people. And then he says here, oh, that men would praise Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. See, we have been commissioned. We have been sent, each and every one of us. And we have to speak. We can't let that tape run in our head. You know, oh, you know, religion. Oh, you know, I'm old-fashioned. Oh, you know, I'm speaking, hate speaking. I'm unloving. That's not what the Word of God says. It says that God has sent each and every one of us to speak the word, and that when we do this the way he wants it done, we're doing it in love. Now, just like in the record with Jesus, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to be happy about what he does. But that doesn't mean that you were unloving in telling them what he told you. Not if you're doing it directed by God and not then you are loving them. You're loving them and you're speaking the word. Because that's what God wants us to do. So I wanted to